Hi everyone, welcome back to Fitter. Thank you for joining me. My name is Sally, I'm your hostess, and in this fitness podcast we discuss everything diet, training, mindset, nutrition. And I want to jump into an episode inspired by some content. I've been listening a lot to Ben Coomber as of recent. He is an English fitness coach enthusiast. He's all about mindset and overall health and developing long-term relationships and patterns which generate a lifestyle which is sustainable and a lot happier. And I'm really kind of riding his wave at the moment. He's got a load of great content. If you aren't familiar, do recommend checking out Ben Coomber. He's all over Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, podcast. His podcast is great. But one of the things that he spoke about in brief and I would like to elaborate on is how do you track food and calories for a beginner level? Is it necessary to go into so much detail? And as a task, how do you implement that practically for somebody who might be a beginner or has no experience tracking food, doesn't know what the hell they're doing, doesn't know what's in their food? And so I'm going to hopefully give some advice and some tips and some food for thought. And if you resonate, let me know, give it a share, give it a thumbs up, send me a DM, or just let me know because it helps. So one thing that I want to get into first of all is I look at food tracking as there being three levels, if you like, and what I think a lot of fitness influencers or coaches, or myself included, I've said previously that you need to know how many calories you're eating, and then within that, how many proteins, how many carbs, how many fats. And whilst I think that that's optimal for certain people at a certain level, if you're a total beginner and you're just completely overwhelmed by the idea of weighing everything and scanning everything and calculating everything, it's not necessary. It's like I said, it's jumping the gun. If you were to go to that, would be what I would consider level three. So level one would be just calories. So calculating your number of calories that you want to eat throughout a day. I discussed at the beginning section of the dieting episode how you go about figuring out your maintenance calories. So if you haven't checked that out, in that episode I describe how I would go about calculating your average calorie intake, what that number should be. But there are different tools. You can either track it for a week, figure out the average. You can go on a TDE calculator online, which is your total daily energy expenditure calculator, and that will churn out a number based on your sex, your age, your activity level, things like that. So once you've got your calorie number, which in itself is its own task to go figure that out, but like I said, once you've got your calorie number, it's very easy to calculate how many calories go in throughout the day. So in all the supermarkets, I think it's actually European law that there has to be per serving or per 100 gram or per container the calories and to an extent the macronutrient information on that food. So you'll see it now in Starbucks or Pret a Manger as well now, the calories per serving. And if you are out and about, you can look at those foods that you're eating and think, oh wow, there's, you know, 300 calories in that, 200 calories in that. And so it's quite easy to figure out that number that you're intaking, especially if you're out and you're eating straight from the shelf. However, if you're home cooking, for example, and I don't know, let's just say you're preparing a portion of rice, they say the average portion is 60 grams. Do you know how many calories are in that 60 grams? So in the beginning process, I would recommend weighing out your food just to have an association with what 60 grams looks like. And then if you were to track it or Google how many calories are in a portion of 60 grams of cooked basmati rice, you then know that and you can look at the food, you can associate with what that calorie intake looks like, how you feel before and after, and that's the stages where you start to develop, okay, I know that this looks like that, I know it looks like that. One big one that I would say it is worth weighing out is cereal. And everyone says cereal is really bad for you, there's loads of sugar in it, and it's not really true. When you look at, you know, the majority of cereals on the shelf, it's not that they're really bad for you. People might gain weight when they eat cereal because a 30 gram portion, I guarantee you, is not what you pour out. It's easy to pour out twice the portion size. And then once you associate, oh, well, actually, I've had 500 calories in my bowl of cereal and I don't necessarily feel that full, you might want to revise how you intake those 500 calories in the morning. And it's about looking at the amount of calories that you're consuming on a meal-to-meal basis, assessing what that looks like so you can develop a relationship, and then you won't need to track the food. I have been tracking my food for 3 years now, and I can pretty much tell you what 40 grams of shreddies looks like, or what 60 grams of rice looks like, or 100 grams of chicken breast. And it's not about being spot on and precise all the time. It's about having an association with portion control and knowing a bit what you're eating. And so if your goal at the very beginning, you're introducing yourself to tracking your calories and your food, then once you've got your calorie intake number, there are very simple things that you can do in the very beginning whilst you're learning. I do think that weighing things out and tracking them a little bit more meticulously with an app like MyFitnessPal is perhaps necessary just for you to learn what that looks like. Take a look at a chocolate bar. Did you know that there are 300 calories in it? Potentially, maybe not. And then once you know that, and then once you know what 300 calories is doing to your goals, you might revise them and you might not, and that's fine. It's just about becoming aware of what exactly you're intaking. And so the level one of food tracking, which will be calorie intakes, quite simply, I think is fairly easy enough for anybody to implement without having drastic lifestyle changes. And if it gets to the point where, you know, if you know that one pint of beer has 80 calories in it, you know that, and it's fine. And it's no one saying eliminate those foods. No one's saying eliminate the muffin. No one's saying don't eat the pizza. It's just, do you know what's in that? And do you know what that does to your body? And then once you, if you know that, and you're somebody who has a really high metabolism, and you can burn through foods and carbohydrates really quickly, and you don't have a lot of, genetically, you don't have a lot of fat stores, and you're quite happy to intake that food, then no one's telling that you can't. It's just about being aware of what happens to your body when you have certain foods. Level two of food tracking, calorie tracking, would be your calories and then your protein intake as part of your calories. So depending on your goals, if, for example, one of your goals is to change your body recomposition, i.e., trade fat for muscle, I would say the first 6 to 10 months of your training is like the golden era. You've really in a sweet spot where your body will be burning through fat and building muscle at the same time. The chances of you being able to do those two things simultaneously after a 10 to 12 month period of training, they reduce very, 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 very drastically. So after that point, it will usually be I want to gain weight and then I want to lose fat. It's very difficult to do the two at the same time, but if you're new to the gym, then you can do the two things at the same time. And I would perhaps, if those are your goals, I would maybe encourage skipping to level two, just because having an optimal amount of protein for your muscle gains at the same time as fat loss could be beneficial. So if you already know that you're in it for life, you're head on straight down that fitness road, and you know that you want to make some gains and you're new to the gym, knowing how much protein you're intaking can really, really benefit those specific goals in terms of muscle gain, as well as protein keeping you fuller for longer. So the ideal is 1 gram of protein per pound of lean body mass that you have. Figuring that out as well is depending on your body fat percentage and your lean body mass. What I'll probably do is link in the description a video by Jeff Nippard, who discusses whether 1 pound of protein, one gram of protein per pound of body fat, or lean body mass, sorry, is optimal and where that came from. It's a really good video. It's only about 10 minutes long, so I'll chuck that in the link if you are interested in figuring out exactly how much protein to intake. But that would be, I would say, level two. So knowing how many calories you're having and then how many calories come from protein, and just leaving the rest to fats and carbs, because fats and carbs are essentially your energy supply. That's where your body gets energy from. And there are obviously benefits for optimizing and manipulating those two figures, but it's not essential. Like I said, it's overcomplicating things at the beginning, which is just only maybe going to put you off. So level one is just calories intake. Get that number, get your calories in, burn those calories as well, and that's going to be your baseline. Level two is to ensure you're having enough of your calories from protein, especially if your goals are to gain muscle at the same time as lose fat, or lose weight. So if you're a beginner, that could be, you know, something that you maybe want to look at. And level three would then be looking at your proteins, your fats, and your carbs. And I wouldn't say that I took it to level three, really, until after about 18 months of tracking my food and training, just because it wasn't necessary. Depending on your lifestyle, depending on your schedule, when you can eat, what, you know, if you're in the office, you might not want to pull out a bowl of porridge and eat your oats in the middle of the day. And so you might be somebody who responds better to a high fat diet or a low carb diet. There's no right or wrong. It's quite simply what you feel best doing. And as long as your calories maintain, well, in line with your goal, if you're trying to lose weight, as long as they stay below your maintenance level, the weight will change. Obviously, depending on how effectively or how quickly, then carbs or fats or proteins could have something to do with it, but it's not essential. It's really quite advanced to be changing your fats and your carbohydrates. I mean, the effects are going to be mental as well. So dietary fats are responsible for hormone production, and so mood changes will probably happen, and you might be unhappy. That's why people get very miserable when they're on diets, because they really really drag out the fats, and so it's carbs for their energy, but then the mood is affected, and it's just unnecessary places that you need to go to if you're a beginner. So like I said, I don't think I'd train for at least 18 months before I looked at my carb and fat intake. And even now on the diet that I'm on, if you've listened to the previous episodes, you know that I'm doing an 8 to 9 week diet, and I'm if I get to a day and I've, you know, if I fancied something in the day and that was higher than, if that was quite high in fat and it didn't really leave me anything, I'll just make sure that the calories remain the same, but then I'll just go under on the carbs that day. And it's no big deal. It's not going to have a huge impact, if any, on your results, especially in the beginning. And so that's like the 1, 2, 3 levels. The most important is just that you track your calories and you start to learn what those foods look like and what they do to you, how you feel before and after. One thing that I remember is when, because I was living in France previously, when I came back to England, I went to a Starbucks and they had the calories on like on all the cakes and the biscuits and whatever. They had the calories of, like, I don't know, it was a cookie or a shortbread or something. And I was like, this biscuit literally has 520 calories. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was a big biscuit, but 520 calories is some like a serious amount of energy that you're putting in there. And I had no idea before. I would probably have thought, oh, it's quite a big biscuit, so maybe like 340, maybe like 380 calories. 520 calories, and that is the difference. 200 calories a week is the difference between you gaining weight or losing weight or not changing at all. It's really that, like that smaller difference that can affect your goals. So just looking at food, assessing food, what's in it, and if you know that that biscuit is 500 calories, but you're quite happy to eat nothing for the rest of the day except, you know, whatever your calorie intake will allow, then that's not a problem. And that's why I think there are people now in the fitness industry and the fitness space who are advocating, you know, there's no clean food and dirty food. There are just optimal ways to eat your calories. And that's essentially it. That's the if it fits your macros approach of eating, which is basically we don't eliminate anything. We just understand that if I want to have that biscuit of 520 calories, I'm probably going to be fairly hungry throughout the rest of the day. But the results are the same. And I think that it's a really, really important thing to get your head around if you are looking to make changes, because it's not necessary to think I'm trying to lose weight, so I'm going to be miserable now. It's just simply like I'm enjoying my diet. I'm serious. I'm not laughing when I say that. Well, I am now, but there's no real reason that you shouldn't have conscious relationships and understandings of the food that you're having and be miserable at it. It's just not necessary. It's 2018. We've got MyFitnessPal. but that's pretty much it. And I just wanted to outline those things because I understand that in the diet episode I discussed tracking your food in quite a lot of detail. And I still stand by obviously what I said in that, but that's really a diet, as I said, is temporary. If you're looking to make changes, but you're daunted by the process and you think that you need to, I don't know, figure out a meal with 400 calories, which is 30 grams of protein, 50 grams of carbs and 12 grams of fat, but you don't know how to do that, then it's not, you don't need to know. So it's normal that that is a complicated, unnecessary task. And if you are beginning, then just try figuring out your calories in versus calories out. If you want help setting up your, figuring out your calorie intake, just drop me an email. I'm not a coach or anything, I'm not going to charge you, but I'm just more than happy to help anybody out. So that would be my advice. Don't get too caught up in it. If you hear people say you need to have X amount of protein, it might be optimal what they're saying. But like I said, anyone who gives you advice where it's just X or Y, then I would just avoid it. There are just so many different variables. Everyone's different. You can figure out a diet or a lifestyle plan, rather, that suits you, that is maintainable, and that can, I'm sure, help you out in the long run. So that's my take on tracking your calories and your food intake. I hope that it helped anybody, somebody. Like I said, let me know, and check out Ben Coomber. As I said, his content is extremely valuable. He's got a lot for beginners into the fitness industry and weight loss space, and how to do things realistically without being too scared. And Jeff Nippard is another one who I follow. He's much, much more technical, methodical, and probably a bit more advanced, I'd say, but some of his research, or some of his ideas and outputs on research, is definitely worth a watch. He puts it in really digestible videos, so even if you're not a science geek or fitness geek, then you can, you know, really hopefully take something away. So that would be it. Thanks for listening again, guys, and I'll catch you next week. Cheers.